Hello and welcome to this edition of Nayreet's Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Borkson-Keto, and we're recording this on February 1st, 2018. Today we're joined from the New York Stock Exchange by Ed Pitoniak, CEO of VICI Properties. VICI owns a mixture of gaming, hospitality, and entertainment destinations that are operated by Caesars Entertainment Corporation, including the iconic Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. VICI has just completed its IPO and began trading on the New York Stock Exchange this morning. So, Ed, this is an exciting time for the company. What are some of the main advantages you see from taking VICI public at this point?
Yeah, Sarah, we do think it's a great time to be taking VICI public. We are a new company. We're only 18 days old at this point, but we think that the market appetite, the market demand for our kind of experiential real estate and the income it can produce is very high right now. And again, there's a great kind of upswell of interest around the whole idea of experiential real estate. Our assets offer experiences that cannot be put into a box and shipped to your house. And we think that should give investors a lot of confidence going forward, you know, that our real estate will be there in good, stable fashion through all cycles over the coming decades.
And what are some of the opportunities and challenges you see in terms of educating the market on the real estate characteristics of your business?
The sector known as gaming REITs is still a very new REIT sector. Very good work has been done by our sector peers, GLPI and MGP, in getting the sector going. But as with any new REIT sector, and you've seen this across so many REIT sectors, whether it be cell towers, data storage, manufactured housing, and others, the market needs time to begin to really truly understand and grow comfortable with, again, the nature, quality, durability, and integrity of the cash flows produced by the real estate assets within the sector. And what we're really excited about is the role we can play in continuing to educate investors, especially dedicated REIT investors, around the nature of our cash flows and why they can be comfortable when it comes to underwriting their investment in our company and in our assets, that these are assets will give them security and stability and really good risk-adjusted returns through all cycles.
And what are some of the social and demographic trends that are influencing the leisure and hospitality business right now?
Yeah, so you have, Sarah, you've got two really big generational age waves that should have a very positive impact on the leisure and hospitality space over the next 10, 20 years. The first generational age wave we'll talk about is obviously the baby boom generation. And we should all remember that the greatest number of baby boomers are still only in their late 50s. And as they move into their semi-retirement and retirement years over the next 10 to 20 years, they will have the greatest amount of leisure time they've ever had in their lives. And what we're going to be working very hard to do is to understand how that generation will spend its leisure time and, moreover, where it will spend its leisure time and what the implications are for place-based experiential real estate as the baby boom generation moves through this period. The other big generational age wave is obviously the millennials, and they are the generation that invented destination blank, as we called it. Destination bachelorette, destination bachelor, destination wedding, destination birthday, anniversary, got a job, quit a job, whatever excuse there may be to gather in a single place at a single time with friends and family and enjoy a shared experience within, again, experiential real estate. We love that dynamic behind our assets for the next 10 to 20 years. And so we really are excited by what those generational age waves can mean for our sector and our particular company. And we'll be, again, working very hard to understand how those generational age waves manifest themselves in a way that's positive for our assets.
And does the company have plans to diversify beyond gaming at this point?
It is certainly something that we will examine rigorously and carefully in the coming years. We believe in the near to midterm, Sarah, that we have a wonderful opportunity to continue to grow our portfolio very creatively for our investors within the gaming space. Again, we're very proud of the association we have with Caesars, and we'll look to take advantage of our independence and our standalone nature as a REIT, to develop other relationships with other gaming companies across the space and become their real estate partner of choice. And once we do get to the point where we feel we've mined as much high-grade ore out of gaming as we can, we will certainly look at adjacent leisure and hospitality sectors, and we will ask if those have the investment characteristics that should give confidence to our investors that we can invest their capital accretively in those sectors. But again, that's a ways off at this point.
And in a previous life, you served as editor-in-chief of Ski Magazine. How did you make that shift onto the business side of the leisure industry?
Oh, my gosh. Only the Lord knows. It is a mystifying career path, I will say. And what it really comes down to, Sarah, is that when I was editor-in-chief of Ski Magazine, I took a great interest in what the dynamics within our industry were, and especially going back to this issue of generational age waves. I really began to focus in about the mid-90s, around 93 or 4, on what impact the baby boom was having on our sport, given that the baby boom had moved into what demographers call the family formation years. And I began to develop a thesis, amateur demographer that I was, that the family formation years had meant that baby boomers somewhat retreated from skiing because they were simply too busy having and raising very young children. But what I did was I put together a presentation that I presented to the ski resort industry at a ski resort conference in 1994, I believe it was. It might have been 95. And my thesis was that we've been somewhat down as an industry in the last few years because of these family formation years. But the kids of these baby boom families are now going to be reaching the age where they're ready to be brought skiing by their parents. And we as an industry need to be ready for them in terms of how we operate and how we develop real estate. As it happened, there were a couple of executives from a very dynamic ski resort operator and developer called Intrawest from Vancouver, BC. They were in the audience, took great interest in what I said, invited me to present to them and their management team, and that eventually led to a job offer. So in 1996, I uprooted my family from Upper Montclair, New Jersey, and we moved to Whistler, British Columbia, and I entered the ski resort operations business. And that was my start in leisure and hospitality operations, and then that led subsequently to couple of tours of duty as a hotel REIT CEO in Canada.
Great. Well, it's an interesting story, Ed. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Sarah, it's been a pleasure.
And many thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us as well.